Welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cooking Podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host. So, how are you doing? I hope you're doing well. I wanted to apologize for missing an episode last week. Before I get into anything else, this past week, honestly, this past month has been something. But especially this past week has been just one of those weeks, you know. And I just didn't have the energy, I guess, to make an episode. And I didn't want to put energy on here that wasn't, you know, that I didn't feel was up to par, or like it you know, I didn't want to release an episode that was not informative or wasn't going to be useful in some way. And so I decided instead to just not make an episode last week and give myself the time to just come back again next week now and you know, do it when I felt ready. But I do want to talk to you all about what happened and ask for your help if at all possible. So this is always difficult, and as a lone wolf and a big old Capricorn, I sometimes find it hard to admit that I need help or ask for help, but I'm getting better at it. And it's one of those things that I think you kind of just gotta, like, you know, give yourself that push and just do it. So you might have seen me, if you follow me on Instagram, this is really the only place that I've talked about it. Oh, I've talked about it a little bit on my personal Facebook, which I barely ever use, so yeah. But I currently have a GoFundMe going for some sudden vet bills that we were hit with. So basically what happened was that everything happened at once. It's one of those, when it rains it pours, you know, or was it never rains but it pours. So our cat had a cut on his face that we couldn't figure out originally where it had even come from. Like, he suddenly just had this cut on his nose, and he kept rubbing at it and like making it really you know, just gnarly. So we took him to the vet, and they said, oh, you know, we think it's like some kind of infection or something, it's probably itchy, that's why he's rubbing at it and making it worse like that, you know. So they gave us they checked him out and everything, and then gave us some medication for him, which we've been using. It's very slow going, but he's getting there. But it used all of our savings, which, it's not that it was super super expensive, it's just that we didn't have a lot in savings, and that savings was supposed to go towards my green card. So basically so when, with me, because I'm obviously not American, I moved here in 2016, and Pip and I got married. I came in on a fiancé visa, which meant that in the years leading up to me moving here, I had to go through this whole process of applying for it and proving that it's a real relationship and, you know, all of that stuff, which is, you know, fine. I understand why you had to go through this huge thing, you know, from like the government perspective and all of that, so that's whatever. But so yeah, I came in, and then we got married, and then you have to do what's called an adjustment of status, which means that you basically go from, you know, you come in on your fiancé visa and you get 90 days to get married, And then after that, you do this thing called the adjustment of status, which is where you get a green card if you're approved, and work permit and all of that. So that was a couple of years ago now. I got that actually almost 2 years ago. And because you, it was a whole thing anyway. There was a whole mix-up and things when I did get my green card, and it got lost, and then they had to redo it and all of this stuff. Anyway, I did get it. And so then this, I don't even remember what month it was. I'm going to say, I think it was September. I had sent off to have my green card replaced because I thought, well, you know, it's coming up on 2 years that it needs replacing, because it needs renewing. And so I sent off for it and to get my married name put on it, because my card right now has my maiden name on it. And yeah, it was just a whole thing. I'm like, that's not my name anymore, you know, that's my maiden name. And I want to have my married name on it. So I sent off and I paid, it was like $550. And then I went, and they do this biometrics thing, which is where they take your fingerprints and take a new picture and things. And only then, when I got there, did someone there say, well, you know, and honestly, they were really rude about it. They were like, well, you know, like, I don't know why you didn't just do this when you removed conditions, because even if you get this done and we give you a new card with your name, it's still going to be expired, because this isn't the thing that you need to do to actually, like, renew it to get, because the next one, I think, is like a 10-year card. But I didn't realize that. No one had ever told me that. So I basically paid $500 for nothing in September, but, you know, yeah, they wouldn't do anything about it. And they said, well, you know, in 2 months or 3 months, whatever it was, you're still going to have to redo it. So then I went away and looked at it, and the fee to actually remove the conditions, which means that I'm no longer, there's a whole thing because of coming in and being married. It's like, you have, again, you have to go through this thing of, like, proving that it's a real relationship, and all, that's basically it, and that you want to, you know, stay and have your green card. It still doesn't make you a citizen. That's something else again, but you get a green card, and then you have to be married or be in the country, I think, I think it's 5 years for when you get married, and then you can take your citizenship. So that'll be my next thing, because Chelsea and I have been married now for, got married in 2016, it's 2019 now, so three and a half years. So yeah, anyway, so that's like $680 or $660, I think. And basically we had been saving up our money to go towards that, you know. And then the vet thing came up, and we had to spend it on this because we didn't have it. And so this has been a whole thing with this sending off this paperwork. It's like every time we've had the money, something has come up that we've had to use it on. You know, it's been a family emergency. Oh, we suddenly need you to come here and do this. We suddenly need you to take care of this thing or help this person, or, you know, the pet, or one of our pets got sick, or the car broke down. we've had some interesting, and right now we've got car problems too, so it's just a thing. But anyway, so things kept coming up, and so it's like, now we're getting to the point where we have got to send this off, because if it goes past the date that my green card is valid till and we haven't sent it, it's illegal for me to be here. They could technically remove me, and I wouldn't be able to, you know, I could probably appeal it to say, like, look, this is what happened, but it would be a big problem. And God, I just shudder to think about that, because I love it here, and I love my wife, and I don't want to leave. And I want to be here with my wife and my family, and anyway, I'm going to cry if I even think about not being able to do that. And it's not going to happen, because we are sending off the paperwork. So anyway, so that's like $600, which is, so we had gotten into overdraft by having to, we had these vet bills, and then like our car's currently broken down, we've had to have that checked, and then now we need to fix that. And we were in overdraft, and we thankfully managed to get out of overdraft because of the help that we've had on the GoFundMe so far, which I'm really, really grateful for. But then Sweet Pea got sick. So Sweet Pea's our dog, if you don't know. And suddenly she was limping and seeming really lethargic and just not well. And we were like, oh God, like, why? but, you know, we needed to take her to the vet. And so, yeah, I basically started a GoFundMe because it was like we were in overdraft, we couldn't afford to take her, and we were going to basically have to wait a couple of weeks, you get the whole thing with overdraft fees and everything, and then like we would have got paid, but then we would have still not had enough to send off the paperwork that I need for my green card. So anyway, I put a GoFundMe up, and explained about it online, what was going on, and that the money was would help us to get out of overdraft. It would help us with the vet fees. It would help us to sort of like put back, you know, get my green card sorted out. And right now we have made, I think it's $245 on that, and we need to make $700. So we're still about $450 away from the goal. It sucks to ask, but I would really, really appreciate it if you could help in any way. If you could donate, if you could spread the word. Honestly, donations are the most helpful. Because we still really need to make that money up. We're still short. We're not in overdraft anymore, which is great. And Pip got paid, so that has helped, but it's still not enough quite to get us out of the woods yet. Just because we've got to send off this paperwork, and we've got to do it this week. We have to. And so that's going to be like a check that's going to come out for nearly $700, which is going to put us in overdraft again. So it's like, ugh. but anyway, it's okay. I would really, really appreciate if you could donate anything. If you could, yeah, if you can't donate, I completely understand that. Completely understand. And please do then share it with anyone that you think would be able to help. Yeah, we really, really appreciate it, and we're so thankful because it really is helping us. And you know, I get that some people would probably say, well, you know, you can't afford your pets, then why do you have them? And because I've heard people say that so much, not to me specifically, but just I've seen people say that, and I get it. You know, it's like, if you can't, I get why people say that, but at the same time, you know, we work really hard, and we usually don't have an issue with this at all. We usually don't have an issue with having our pets, and we love our pets, and we take good care of them, and we feed them, and, you know, love them, and it's completely that we don't have an issue with it usually. It's just when something like this happens, and it's just like all these circumstances, and then the other thing, which I didn't get a chance to talk about on the GoFundMe, but that happened within the same like time frame, is that we also rescued a stray cat who was pretty much starving. Our friend actually rescued them. They knew someone that was like, hey, there's this cat, but they're not ours, and they wouldn't take care of them. So our friend rescued them, but then our friend has two dogs who cannot deal with cats at all. And they live in a shared house, and they couldn't keep her. And so we took her in. And it really, for as terrible as the timing was, it also kind of felt like a gift in a way, just because I have wanted a a lady cat for a couple of years now. I had one pretty much my whole life growing up. Her name was Drusilla, and she was my baby, and I loved her so much. And she passed away the year that I moved here, and she was an old lady, so you know, it was natural causes and all of that. But I've wanted a girl cat since then, and we have two boy cats. But I've really wanted a girl cat, and then this girl cat comes along, and she's teeny tiny, and you know, it's like we could afford to have her, and it wouldn't really add any cost or anything. And so we took her in, and we've been feeding her, and she's put on a lot of weight, and I really, really want to keep her. Like, if it turns out that we can't, I hate the thought of it, but if it turns out that we can't, then I'll, you know, yeah, but I really want to keep her. Like, I've been wanting and wishing and wishing and wishing for this girl cat, for the perfect opportunity to come up with for us to be able to have a girl cat. And it's like, she comes along and she's perfect. Like, she's so friendly, she's so sweet, she's tiny, not just because she was really skinny, but just she's small. And she's, you know, really cuddly and lovely. And it would just be perfect if we could keep her. She's going to the vet tomorrow, and we're going to get her spayed, and we're going to get her checked for feline leukemia and things like that too, because if she has that, there's two things with cats that I don't know if it's the leukemia or there's something else too, but like if they have that, we won't be able to keep her because our other cats don't have it, and it's very contagious. And so she would have to go to a home that either had cats that already have it, and it, you know, they can live with it, it's fine, it's just, you need medication for it and things like that. But anyway, she would have to live in a home with someone who either didn't have any of the cats, or they had cats who already have this thing. Oh, we're really hoping that she doesn't have those things, because if she does, we really won't be able to keep her, no matter what. But I'm really hoping it's not that she doesn't have that. She seems really healthy, apart from that she needed to be fed up, what she has. She's put on quite a lot of weight in the last week. but apart from that, she's really healthy. She's, you know, she looks like she's probably about 6 months old. Her eyes are really bright, she's really like spry, and she's doing good. So but anyway so that's part of the funding so far from GoFundMe has gone towards, is like helping with the overdraft and the so we basically got the vet covered, and Sweet Pea has been to the vet. She now has medication. They think she has some kind of tick-borne disease, which is really common out here, just because we live out in the country, not as out in the country as we used to, but we still live out in the country. So ticks just happen here, and we have them on tick medication, but especially because she's a big dog, she's got thick fur, it's like we don't know if she somehow got a bite and we didn't catch it, or you know, whatever. But anyway, they've given her medication, and she's taking it, and it seems to be helping already, so that's really good. It seems like we caught it really early. The GoFundMe is going to help with that. It already has helped with that, but it's still going towards that, you know, and the cat, and also just my green card stuff. Originally, it wasn't really my intention to have the money go towards that, because I really, you know, I wanted to be able to cover that myself, but if things happen, right? and I just, yeah, it's hard to ask for help, but you have to ask for help. I was saying to Pip the other day, it's like people can't help you if they don't know that you need help, right? So I'm asking for help. Yeah, so I'll put the GoFundMe link in the description of this episode. And yeah, if you can help at all on GoFundMe, I think you can even donate like $5. You know, it's like that's, they always, what's that thing? They're always like, oh, that's a cup of coffee. It's a fancy cup of coffee. And I get if you even don't have that much, I completely understand. But if you do, or anything that you can donate, you know, $20, whatever, I really appreciate it. And it would just help so much to just keep this going. Like, we just have, we've had, I think, 7 donations so far, which has given us that that 240, which has been amazing. But we really do need to try and keep raising the rest of it. If you don't want to donate to the GoFundMe, you know, for whatever reason, that's fine. But you do want to put money towards it, you can also book, you know, a reading with me through my Etsy. You can, I also have just launched my third deck, the second edition of my third deck, the Vitae Oracle, and it's the Whispers of Nature edition. So that's in the shop now too. It's the same price as the other decks. It's $35, and then it's usually, I think it's about $5 to $6 or shipping within the US. You still have time now to order before Christmas, but that's going to be the deadline for that. It's going to be coming up pretty soon. And I ship worldwide too, so, you know, obviously it costs more shipping internationally. I know the bane of trying to buy international decks from the community talking about it, and I get that that sucks. The post is so expensive for something that's not that heavy, but whatever. that's a different thing, right? but yeah, that's there now too. So there's 3 decks right now. I've got another deck that I'm finished. I've got the prototype. I'm writing the guide for it. And then that's going to be in the shop as well. And that's Tarot and Oracle deck combined. So I'll be launching that as soon as I can. So if that's what you want to do instead, I would really appreciate that too. Anything, everything is going towards these bills and these fees right now, because that's what we got to do. And that's going to, you know, make sure our family is happy and healthy and up on our feet and up on our paws and running around. And yeah, the green card thing is to make sure that I can stay here and keep living. And you know, this is, I really feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. I love it here, and I love it here. This is home to me. I remember when I, even the first time I like set foot in America, which was, I'd never been here to America at all before I met Pip. And then when I came, I remember having this sudden feeling like in the plane, like, whoa, I feel like suddenly more grounded. And then I looked at the plane, like the map on the plane thing, and it was like we just crossed over into, we were flying over America, and it's like I had this sudden feeling like I'm supposed to be here, you know. And I really, really believe that, and I feel so lucky to be where I am, and I feel so blessed for the help that we've received so far for it, and all of the love. And yeah, I can't imagine not being here, and I would hate to. But anyway, that's my whole life story right now. but yeah, so I'll put the GoFundMe link in the description of this episode, and if you can help at all, that would be so helpful. If you can help at all, that would be helpful. That's a kind of weird sentence, but you know, that's fine. But is there anything else that I needed to say? Oh yeah, I'm back to normal at the shop now, so every Friday and Saturday. Friday I am there usually until like 5:30 now, but I try and take my last appointment if I can around 4:30, just to give me time to wind down as well. And then on Saturdays from 10:30 a.m. to 4-ish, 4:30 to 5 usually I'm there, but again I try and take my last one at about 4. And yeah, I would love if you can see me. I feel really, really blessed there too. I feel very lucky, you know, even when we've been struggling and it's been, you know, living on a shoestring, or I don't understand that term, like, where'd that come from? but even I still feel really lucky and blessed. So yeah, thank you, universe and God and you know, spirit, for helping me be here. But yeah, with all that said, okay, so I want to get into what I want to talk about today in the episode, which is, I don't really know how to call it or what to call it, but I guess it's like more behind the scenes in the life of a tarot reader, in the life of a healer, that kind of thing, and things that people don't tell you about, about this work, and how I found and suggest to deal with it. So, advice, I guess. I'm gonna have a glug of tea. Okay. So, some things that you don't get told about this kind of work. Well, for one thing, I think this is a kind of work that people don't actually talk about a lot in general. You know, there's always this like air of mystery and this air of not really knowing like what goes on behind the scenes and what is it really like to live as a reader and be a reader in your day to day. You know, this is very like cultivated. This is me as the reader, and this is the version of me that you see in that room, and then you don't get to know about my life. And I'm very much about opening those doors and opening that up and showing that, because I'm a person, you know. I'm a reader, I'm a professional reader, professional energy worker and a healer, but I live day to day, and that's how I live. Like, that's my work, that's why I'm here, and I really feel like that's my purpose too, and it's how I make money, and how I live and support my family. And so I really want to show people, what is it like to live like this? What does it feel like? What, you know, what is it like as a person? Because I feel like you deserve to know who that person is that you're coming to, that's giving you readings. Like, you know, different people have different thoughts about this. Some people are like, you should keep everything very separate, and you shouldn't share about your life, and you should, you know, it should be just about the client. And I completely understand that view. And obviously, when a client comes to you, you're focused on the client, you're not focused on yourself. But I really don't like, and have never been good at, keeping myself completely separate and not sharing about myself. You know, it's like, if something comes up and I think that I could help someone by telling them, like, this is, you know, I've been in that same boat, like, or, you know, we're both in this. Say someone comes to me and they're part of the LGBTQ community, you know, and it's, and they feel lonely and they feel, you know, lost or sad, or, you know, all the complicated feelings that can come with it. It's like, I don't want to keep it separate that I also happen to be gay, and that I'm, you know, married to a woman, and that kind of thing. It's like, what, I don't understand. I find it to be that I don't want to keep that separate, because I want to say, like, I want it to help people, you know. I want to be able to say, like, look, I completely get that, like, I completely understand those feelings, and even if it's something that I haven't had personal experience in, I want to be able to say to people, like, I'm not just a reader here. I mean, this is a reader client relationship, obviously, and there's you know, boundaries and things with that, but when you come to me, and you know, people come to you as a reader with very sensitive things, and they have worries and fears, and they don't just need help, I think they need comfort. People need comfort. They're seeking out another person to help them, and it's like, I can't be distant in that situation, because I look across that table and I see that person and I just think, I get it. Being human is so hard and confusing, and you feel just like you're, you know, don't know where you're going and all of this. And I just want to tell people that, like, it's okay. You are doing the absolute best that you can, and that is more than enough. You know, it's whatever's going on, wherever the confusion is, wherever the fear is, it's not because you're a bad person and you deserve it, you know, and we're going to figure this out. That's what readings are for, to my mind. It's like spirit being able to come through and help you figure this out so that you can flow, so that life can flow more for you. So yeah, I don't like to keep things, you know, super separate. Yeah, I'm not gonna like sit down and tell my whole life story to people, because for one, that's not part of the client relationship, and for two, they're not there for that, you know. I completely get that. Like, when you come for a reading, you're not there to talk about your reader's problems. Like, why would you pay for that? But I do think you can, you know, you can be open about yourself in explaining, like, here's what the cards are saying, and here's, you know, what I think, or here's what I'm picking up, and it's coming from this, and this is what it makes me think because of this experience or whatever, you know. But there are some things that happen in that client reader relationship or client healer relationship that I think are different than a lot of things, and I think a lot of it comes from just that it is, you do form a rapport, you form a relationship with that person, especially if they are a regular person who keeps coming back to you, you know, over and over, and say every couple months or every month they come in and see you and they tell you, oh, this is what's been going on with me, and then you say, oh yeah, this is what's been going on, and you have, you know, that, like, you have that connection with each other. So some of the things that people don't really hear about, and I'm gonna try and stick to and talk about the things that can be a little bit challenging, because I think these are the things that kind of can scare people off from doing this kind of work, and I really don't think it needs to stop you from doing it. You just need to know how to deal with it or handle it. So the first thing that I want to say is that regardless of whether you say, I don't deal with this, this, and this thing, you're still going to get people that will come in and tell you about that thing, because that's what's going on for them right now, and that's what they're scared of, you know. Like, legally, I cannot give medical advice, I cannot give financial advice, I cannot give you legal advice. I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a banker, you know. I can give you this, like, spiritual guidance, but it has to be with that proviso of, I cannot treat you for this. You have got to go and see the appropriate person for this, you know. You can come to me and say, let's look at this business venture. Does this look like it's going to be a good thing? Does it look like it's going to work? And I can look at that, you know. I can definitely look into that, and we can talk about money, but it's just that I think you can't only go at it from tarot. And I'm not in a position to be able to say, like, look, yes, this is, yeah, I wouldn't, even if I felt like I could give that 100%, and I can't. So it's like, yeah, but regardless, you're still going to have people come to you and tell you this. They're going to come to you and say, I'm having a health scare, you know, I don't know what's going on, I'm scared about my health, you know, I've just been diagnosed with this thing, like, I'm struggling with a really messy divorce, and I don't know what to do, I'm having this issue. I've had people come into that room and tell me that they're in an abusive relationship. I've had people come in and tell me that they have thought of committing suicide. So, you know, it's a really very serious place, and I mean that in terms of that people feel safe to come into that room. It's a safe space, it's contained, and I think it gives them this space, this container, to come and say those things. You know, they might not have told a single other person this, and they're gonna tell you because they feel safe. And even if you can't help with that, you know, and you have to say, then I cannot advise you on this. You really need to go and see this person, or here's my suggestion. And I have cards in my room now that have the different helplines and the suicide hotline and things like that, because yeah, I can't do that. But people will still come in there and talk about it. And sometimes it's like, that's what they really need. They need to be able to tell someone about it. But that is extremely heavy. And I'm not saying that in a sense of I don't want people to tell me that. Or that if you're listening and you have had a reading with me, or you have had spiritual guidance with me, and you have told me this kind of thing, I'm not saying it to say that I don't want you to tell me that, or that you should feel bad at all, because I really don't mean that at all. it is truly, I feel like it's part of my job, it's part of my purpose to not just be a reader. And here's what I was talking about before, I'm not just a reader, but I'm here to give comfort to that person, to hold space for them, and to say, yeah, you know, you might not feel like you can tell anyone else, but you can tell me, you know, and I will listen to you, and I will tell you what I really think and what I feel and what spirit's saying, which is that this is not your fault, and it's terrible. You know, it's terrible that you are dealing with this, but that you are so strong and so brave, and you are not on your own. And I really feel like that is, you know, and here's help. Because this is something that happens a lot for people too, is they're like, well, I'm in this situation, but I honestly don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of it. And so for me, I'm always very interested in it and proactive, and always wanting to find new ways to say, here's what you can do, here's some numbers, here's what I would suggest. Not just, well, it'll get better, you know, because I don't think that's super helpful. I want to help. Like, I want to say, here's resources, here's a number, here's an app you can use, here's what I would suggest, you know. And so I feel like that is part of my job. My job is not just reading. My job is not just bringing through messages from spirit. That's a big part of my job. It's the majority of my job, but it's not all of it. Like, for me, that human kindness, that human compassion, that human connection, being kind is part of that work. Being loving is part of that work, you know. And it's, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute, because this is another tip, but it's important to make sure that you are not crossing the line, but of and keeping your boundaries strong and all of that, with, because people are coming to you as a service and as a professional. They're not coming to you to have you, you know, be like their friend necessarily. But, you know, I think you still having that compassion and kindness and love, I think you can have that for someone and it not cross those boundaries. You know, it's like, in this capacity as the healer, as the reader, as the connection with spirit to remind you about this, I can give you this love. Like, I'm the Ace of Cups. I'm the upright Ace of Cups, and I can give this, and I can give this love, and I can give this compassion and you know, this comfort. But yeah, sometimes you will have people come in and tell you these things. And what I would advise to do when that happens is put down the cards. Just listen to them talk, because that's honestly what most people need. They're not even coming to you necessarily to fix it. They just want to know that someone knows, someone sees them, someone can see what's happening to them. Because they might be super strong everywhere else and wear that mask and be, you know, I'm strong and I keep everything together. And then they come into your room and it's the only place that they can take that off and say, I'm really scared. This is really, really hard, you know? So put down the cards. And usually this is what I do. Sometimes I'll shuffle cards while I'm listening, just in case, like, we're going to do a reading, or we figure something out that we can do a reading about and say, okay, what can we do about this? But if I can tell that it's just that they need to talk about it, and if it's something that I'm going to say to them, look, I'm not qualified to help you in this. Here's what I think you should do. then we won't do the reading. And I, because my thing is that I charge just for the time that we took. So if you come in there and you and we talk about it for 20 minutes, yes, I'm still going to charge that $20 because it's still the time for the reading, right? But I'm not going to add 20 minutes on that with a reading that I don't think is going to help. So that's what I say to people. It's like, you know, if you want to come in here and we talk for 20 minutes and then you want to do a reading with, and I'll explain it to them, well, I think it's probably just going to bring up what we've already just talked about. I don't know yet how helpful it would be. And I think this is what would be helpful. Here's this number. Here's this resource. Go do that. But if they want to do a reading, then it's going to be another $20. So it's going to be $40. And it's like, that's completely fine. If you want to do that, that's completely fine. I am here to work with you and you're paying me. You know, I am at your service. but if I really don't think it's going to help, then I really will tell them, I don't want to charge you money for something that I don't think can help. Or I don't think will help right now. You know, it's like if you come to me and we do 20 minutes and then I say, here's this resource, go do this. and then they go away and they go and do it. And then they come back a week later or a month later or whatever and say, okay, now I think I've figured out a little bit more of what I want to do. But now I want to see where's that path going? What can we do? How can we do this? Then I'll happily do the reading. But I think for me, it's like when someone is in that very desperate situation, they have got to get out of that first, and then you can start taking strides. You know, you can't walk forward on your path if you're stuck in a hole. You've got to throw the rope down there first and get out. And so it's like, is a reading going to help me get out of this specific hole? You know, readings can definitely help us get out of all sorts of things, can help us figure out, like, how did I get in this position and how do I move out of it? But, you know, there's certain things where it's like there's other kinds of help that are needed here first before that can happen, before we can start moving forward, which is what tarot is so great at and what that spiritual guidance is so good at. We've got to get you out of that hole first. So here's how to do that, you know. Okay, so what I'm actually going to do is go to the ad break now, and then I'm going to come back and keep talking about this, because I was talking quite a lot in the beginning about my own stuff. So we'll be back in a second. People don't tell you about reading what to do about it. So, okay, sometimes, and this is where the thing I was talking about before, the boundaries are important, because sometimes you will find that people will start to rely on you, or this can happen, that they'll start to rely on you to be the one to fix something, and you cannot do that. You can't walk someone else's path for them. You can't take someone else's journey for them. You can't fix them. And you have to be very aware of when people are starting to act this way so that you can explain that to them gently. And then, you know, what I do then is suggest a break. Suggest, I think we need to have some time of not having readings and not doing the work, not doing the healing, whatever. And I think you need to have some time of not doing that, you know, and then go away and then come back, you know, in a month or so if you really feel that you need to. But I think what you're going to find is once you realize your own strength in this and that you don't need me to fix it, you know, you're going to feel so much better. if you notice that someone is relying on you that much, or they come back to you, you know, every week, or they come back to you, say they turn up and they want to do it like one day and then the next day. It's like I say to people, again, I think you have to be very, very honest with this, and you have to keep the client's well-being in mind and put your own, not put your own well-being to the side, but put, you know, you've got to get, like, got to put that, the money to the side, or the, because I think you have to, first of all, make that ethical, compassionate response first, and not let it be about the money. And I have found, you know, some people are different, and some people would probably not do what I do, but what I do feels right with me, and I would want someone to do it for me, is that I will say to someone, if I don't think that this is going to help, or I don't think that this is the best avenue, and I think you should do this instead. And I, because I don't want to charge people money for, and leave them feeling the same way they did before, with no guidance or no help. You know, it's like, if you're coming to me and paying me, it's because I really think I can help you. And I have said to people, I don't think I am the right resource for this. It's not that there aren't resources for this. It's not that no one can help you. It's just that I cannot do this part. Like, this is not in my wheelhouse. This is not my strength. Here's what I think you should do. Here's the resource, you know. Have I lost money through doing that? Probably. But at the end of the day, it's like, that's money. It comes and goes. I know this is maybe a little of a weird thing to be saying when I started the episode, saying I really need help with money. But anyway, I would rather struggle with money and know that I did right by my clients than take that money and know that I didn't help them. It just, I can't do that. That is wrong to me. Just, and spiritually it's wrong. And what I have found in the way I try to think of things and the way I try to think of it is that the money will come. The people will come that I can help, and they will pay me money. And that's, yeah, I don't need to keep someone on. I don't need to, you know, keep someone going or charge them and make them think that I can do something when I can't because I need money. Because if I free up that space and allow that person to go and get the help that they really need and get the resource and spend their money on the resource that they need, someone else will come in that place who I am the resource for them. I'm the place for them. I can do that reading and I can help them. And so that's great. You know, you've heard me talk about money before on here, unless this is your first episode. And I believe in charging for your services. I absolutely believe in that. And I don't have an issue charging money for my services at all. But I will not charge someone if I don't think I can help. And I won't do the work and then say, well, you know, this didn't help, so I won't charge. I've done that before, and I still slip into that occasionally if I'm like, well, this didn't help you, so I won't charge you, but that's my own issue. That's still money issues, you know, so it's not like I don't have some, but generally I'm good about it with it, because it's like, I took that time to do the absolute best that I could. It's like, did I do the best that I could and give you the best guidance that I could and the best advice that I could and send you away with something? I can't do anything about what someone does with that information. So it's like, if I say to you, well, you need to, you know, look at job listings here or something, and then they don't do it, that's not my issue. I gave them the advice, I gave them the guidance, but they didn't take it. That's something else, you know. But it's like, if I really don't think that the guidance is going to come, like there isn't something I can really do to help with it, then I'm not going to even go there. I'm not going to charge for it. And I'm not going to do it. You know, we're going to stop this now. But yeah, sometimes you will get people who you have helped them, but then they'll keep coming back because they think they need you. It's like they put the power in your basket and say, this is your power. Like, you're the reader, so you're the one who knows what to do about this. And it's like, that's really flattering. But you can do this. You do not need me to do this. Like, you can do this. And I've already given you all the help that I can with this right now. You know, it's that thing of readings where if you keep asking the same question, you'll either keep getting the same answer, or you'll, which I've had people come in and they needed to hear that same thing, you know, a good couple of times, which is, you know, people learn in different ways, but you'll either keep getting that same answer, or you'll get an answer that doesn't make any sense, because it's like Spirit said, I've told you what I think, I've told you what you need to do, and if you don't want to listen, then I can't give you anything more. It's not even like I don't want to help you, it's just I can't give you any other information, I can't give you any other help than the truth that I've already given you, or the information I've already given you, and you don't like it. You know, it's, and that, I'm not saying that to make anyone feel bad, but it's like, if you don't accept the information, it's still the information that's there. We're still not going to get other information. Because then if it's like, if the only other thing you could tell that person, if they heard what you were truly hearing or what you were truly picking up and they didn't accept it, was that you would be telling them what they want to hear. And some people, that's another thing, some people, they only want to hear what they want to hear, and they'll take what you say and they'll make it fit what they want to hear. You know, again, you can't control that, but you can stop it when you can see that it's not a good fit, it's not a healthy relationship, it's not working. You can say, you can take this and do what, you know, do your thing with it, but I can't do it. I can't do any more of it because it's not right. And I can't do more of this. Here's what I'm going to tell, like an anecdotal story of something that really formed this in me, of not keeping people carrying on and hanging on when you can't help them, or if you can't do anything more. So I used to work at an acupuncture clinic because that's what my university degree is in. So I worked at an acupuncture clinic, and I had clients. And someone else at the clinic, not going to name any names, was also an acupuncturist, and she ran the clinic. And we just did not see eye to eye with each other. We were so different from each other. But she had this thing of, well, you should try and get people to come back. Like, you should be trying to keep people coming back in. And I was the exact opposite. I was like, no, I want to get you out of here as quickly as I can. And it's not because I don't like you. You know, it's because I don't want you to need me. Like, if you're, say you're coming for acupuncture because you have a bad knee, well, I want to do my absolute darndest, my absolute best with every single session to make your knee feel better so that you don't have to come anymore. I don't want you to be coming back over and over saying my knee still hurts, you know? And I really have this feeling of like, almost of this like, well, I'm going to hold back from the absolute best that I can do, the absolute most I can do, so that person will still need me. And that to me is really gross feeling. It's like, no, that's not right. Like, I can't do that. And I'm the same way with clients that come for a reading. You know, it's like, I am absolutely here if you need to come to me every week and let's work through this really complicated, difficult thing, as long as we're moving forward with it and we're looking at different, we're figuring it out and it is moving forward. If I don't think the readings are going to be helping, I won't do it. But I don't want to hold back like some important piece of information or some part of that energy or whatever, in the hopes that you will keep coming back to me because you can't resolve the issue without me. It's like, no, that's wrong to me. I want the person to be able to get through the situation that they came in for, that's what the reading was for. I want them to go forward and do that thing, have that success, get out of that bad relationship. You know, I want them to not need me anymore. Because life happens, and then maybe in the future they'll need help with something else and they can come back then, and that's, you know, I will help then. and that's fine, but I don't want to keep someone around for the same issue, knowing that, or even feeling that part of the reason that they might not be able to get out of this is that I am somehow, like, almost purposefully keeping them on. Like, that's just really, to me, I really don't like that, and it really feels bad to me. And this is, I think you have to be just really aware that some people will do that. They'll put that power in your basket, and they'll keep coming back, and they'll keep paying you. But it's because they don't feel powerful themselves. You know, it's like if someone just thinks that you give really good advice, and I have clients like this, and they come back with whatever issue they're going through, and they trust themselves, but they want that second opinion, or they, you know, they're trying to trust themselves, and they're growing in that, but they feel the need for the support. That's one thing. But when you feel it going into that other thing of, like, you're the one who has the power, then I think it's really important to set it back with them and say, this is your power. You know, I have my power. I have my own power. This is yours. Like, and you have this. You cannot give it to me, you know? You can't give it to anyone, and no one can take it from you. And that's the thing. It's like, if someone believes that someone has taken their power, or that, you know, they've been told that I've taken your power, you are powerless and I'm powerful, then they believe that they don't have that power. And so it can be the most important thing, I think, then, is, like, sending it back with them and saying, this is yours, this belongs to you, no one can take this from you, you know. Yeah, but just to be aware that people can get that attachment, and to just be kind of, to be careful of that, and stay truthful about how much you can help and what feels right or not. Okay, so what else is there? what other things do we not hear about? Okay, the fact that you will need to get the energy out somehow. It is not an easy job. Because you hear people's deepest, darkest secrets, and you hear the things that they don't tell anyone else, and you hear the things that they're scared of, and you hold their hopes and dreams in your hands in those cards, you know, and you are talking about very sensitive things. You are holding it, you are making a container for very sensitive, very personal, very private things, and people will tell you things that are hard to hear and are heavy. There's just no way that they won't, you know. I see that as kind of like as a sign of a good reader. If you have clients that come to you and they feel safe to tell you all this information about whatever, it's like they do that because they feel safe with you. That's a positive thing. But you need to have an outlet. You need to have a way to transform that energy, to get that energy going somewhere. You know, whether it's having a loved one that you can talk to about it. And here's the thing. So you obviously have confidentiality with readings. And so I never, ever disclose, like, information about that person. I don't tell their name, what they look like, you know, any of that, or the details of that case. But I do come home and say, God, I feel sad. I had a hard day. I heard about some really sad things today, and it's, you know, I heard about things today that were to do with you know, having a loss. I heard about things today with people struggling with money. I heard things today about someone going through grief. You know, it's not personal, it's not the personal details, but it's the topic of what we were talking about. So that's the thing. I don't disclose that person's actual private, like, what happened, you know, but you need to be able to get out the energy of what happened. So, you know, I dealt with this situation that was very sad, and it made me sad because it was about family, and that brought up this feeling of feeling sad for me. And having like a loved one that you can talk to about that, or a journal that you know, maybe keep locked, or something like that, therapy even. You know, they always say that thing of like, therapists have therapists, or therapists need therapists, because when we take on other people's sadness and their fear and things, and we're helping them through it, we have to be able to get it out of our system as well. Otherwise, it accumulates, and that's not good for you. So you need to have some way to get that energy out there. And then there's other things too that can help with that. You know, it's like exercising can help with that. Creativity, coming home and painting or something. Like, sex can help with it, you know. I mean, let's be real here. It's just ways to get that energy out, and I'm not saying that as in, like, you know, using, well, that's whatever, but like, obviously it needs to be done in a healthy way. But I think getting that energy out, moving it through the body and getting it out of your body is really important. You need to take care of yourself, because you can't ask your client to take care of you. You know, obviously you have your rules and your boundaries, which is like, if we're going to work together, this is how it is. They need to respect those boundaries. But what I'm saying is, when they are coming to you for some kind of thing that they're struggling with, you can't ask them to help you not feel sad or you not feel heavy from it. And just professionally, you can't put your stuff on them. And if you were asking them to hold back certain things, I think, or you were trying to hold back from feeling the emotions of it, I kind of feel like that would make it not the best reading. Because I think being able to get into the emotions of it and into the energy of it and come at it from that place with them of like, let's resolve this, let's figure this out, from where you are, you have to feel it with them in that sense. But it's like, it's important to be able to get that out and to get past that, and to not just soak it all in like a sponge and keep hold of it. So make sure that you're getting that energy out in whatever way is best for you, and that you're clearing it out. And you know, don't just do it with like, I'm going to go home and sage myself, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I mean, I understand that, cleansing the space, cleansing your energy and all of that. But I think it's really important to get it out in some way. Like, I'm not just clearing the energy. Because here's what I think sometimes happens with say, like, clearing energy, is you're just clearing the energy in that room, but you're not really clearing the energy in yourself if you're not dealing with it, you know, if you're not doing something with it. Like, I think even if you sat down and you channeled that energy into something and then you cleared it, you're still actively doing something with that energy. But you've got to do that. You can't just kind of clear the air and then that's it, I think. So yeah, there's that. What else is there? I feel like there must be some other things. Things that people don't tell you. Okay, I think I've talked about this before, but there will be people who you cannot help, and for different reasons. So, you know, it could be that it's because of some issue, like an illegal issue, a medical issue, whatever it is, that you're not qualified to help with, and it's not legal for you to help, and just don't do it, right? Get them to go to the right person, because you do not want to point them in the right point them on in the wrong direction, and that, because it's bad for the client. But then if they come back to you and say, you told me to do this and I did it, and now look, it's like, that's you don't want that. So don't take on the responsibility of dealing with things that you know you can't deal with. But there will also be some people that you just can't read for, or you just can't work with. Their energy is not compatible with your energy. You feel they give you the strange feelings, you know, it's for whatever reason. You know, you need to be able to say that, oh, I can't do this reading. And then if it's in person or something, turn them back around and say, here's what you could do, but I can't do it. If they bought a reading for you from you, say online, and then you can't do it, you need to refund them and tell them that. This is why, you know, for me, working doing through, say, Etsy and things like that works, because for the 99.999 recurring people, percent of people, I don't have any issue. It's completely fine. I don't have any issue connecting with their energy. I don't need to see someone in person. I can read. You could be on the literal other side of the world to me, and I can still read your energy. That's not a problem. I can still read for you. But, you know, and it's, I don't have an issue like picking up that energy. But just very, very occasionally, I'll have someone that I am getting a big no from spirit of like, nope, you cannot read this person, and we're not going to give you any information. And then, like I was saying before, it's an ethical thing, because the only other thing I could do then would be to try and go off my own, like, you know, thing. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, I would be making stuff up, basically. Like, if I can't read for them, it means that, one, spirit ain't talking. Two, the cards aren't making sense because I'm not supposed to read for that person. Everything is telling me, do not read for this person. You cannot be the one to do this. So I would have to be making it up because I wouldn't be able to get it any other way. And that's ethically completely wrong. So it sucks because obviously you don't want to disappoint the person and they've booked a reading with you and they want to do it, you know, and it's whatever. But if you are feeling that feeling and that knowing of I cannot be the one to do this with this person, you need to tell them and you need to make sure that you're not doing it, and you refund them if you need to or whatever it is. Once I've done a reading, then I don't do refunds, because it's like, well, I did the reading. I might do a reading and get information that you don't like, you know, that you don't want to hear. That is possible. Doesn't happen that often, I have to say, or at least when it does, and if it seems on the surface like, ouch, you know, it's like, I'm going to explain that and say why this is for the best for you, that this is coming through. If I do a reading for you, it means that I felt that I could do it, that the energy felt right, you know, and so that's different. If I do the reading, then I don't do the refund. But if I am getting that feeling that I honestly can't do this reading or I can't do this session, whatever it is, then I don't take the money or I give it back, because I can't take it and then not give what I'm supposed to give, you know. So keep that in mind too, that there might be people, there might be times when you can't do it, and so act accordingly to that. What else is there? What else? I feel like there's something else and I've forgotten it, and then as soon as I stop recording and finish the episode, I'm gonna remember what it was. But I just can't remember. I think I'm going to leave it at that. And hopefully this has been helpful. And if you have any questions, or if there's anything that you've ever wondered and thought about, like, well, what about this thing? You know, like, feel free to shoot me a question and ask me, and I'll do the best that I can to answer. Or if you need, you know, a longer session to really delve into something, then I do professional consultations. You can book that through the Etsy shop. So I'm happy to help if you think of something else that I didn't cover, because I'm sure there are other things I feel like I'm going to remember later, which isn't that helpful. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, and I am sending you so much love. I will be back next week. If I'm not going to be, which I can't see that happening, because I love being regular with this is important to me, and I really didn't like missing last week. But I will keep posted online. And if you don't see anything, then expect me back next week. All right. So sending you so much love. Have a wonderful day. Bye.